Welcome to the FDI Frigate Ship Brief. FDI stands for Defense and Intervention Frigate, also may be referred to as the Admiral Ronarc class. This is a French frigate that's going to replace the Lafayette class frigates, and they're building five of them in France. The design of this is so good and impressive, the Hellenic Navy's already ordered three before the first one's even built. So this is they're off to a good start here, building these over at Naval Group. This is the first cyber-resilient frigate France is building, and its primary armament is going to be the Exocet anti-ship missile with the extended range mod installed, the Silver VLS system that's going to shoot the Aster 30 SAMs. It's going to have 16 cells that can shoot the Aster 30, which means it can also shoot the Aster 15. We'll discuss the difference between those two missiles in this briefing. It does have the inverted bow, similar to the Zumwalt class. In some of the pictures you'll see here, it doesn't have that, but know that the finished design will have the inverted bow that you see in this photo. It is a stealth design and improved acoustic signature in that all machinery is rafted. And we can't go into detail on what that means, just know that sonar-wise, she's very quiet. And the lead ship is planned to be commissioned in 2025. So let's get started here with the FDI frigate. Here are the weapon systems on board. I love that they kept the big gun. They have the 76mm gun on the bow. That's wonderful. A lot of frigates these days, seems like the primary gun on the bow is getting smaller and smaller, but they kept the big one. On the bow is also those 8x2, so a total of 16 A50 silver VLS cells that shoot the Aster 30 surface-to-air missile. They have the 4x2 Exocet cells, or blocks, if you will, four starboard, shooting that very long-range anti-ship missile. They have the Nexter Narwhal 20mm gun. There is one port, one starboard, and they're catty-corner each other, meaning one's forward and one's aft, and on opposite sides of the ship. And below that, there is the helicopter hangar that also has next to it the twin torpedo tubes. There's two on port and two on starboard side, and she carries one helicopter and one unmanned aerial vehicle. So a lot of firepower in this little ship, but she has a surprise. Her communications ESM suite is outstanding. We're going to talk a little bit about how these systems work together and how much they've improved since I was in the Navy years ago. So we'll break down each one of these radars for you and ESM systems. She does have the King Clip Mark II sonar system, which is a very good, bow mounted, or it's near the bow in these days. It's not on the bow anymore. Sonar system. And she does have CAPTAS 4 variable depth sonar. And that's the real submarine catcher right there. Because what they can do with CAPTAS is deploy it like it's a towed array off the back end. And then it's got little control surfaces, fins, if you will. And as they're dragging it, like they're flying a kite, they can use the control fins to push the sonar system below the thermal layer that's typically between 200 and 400 feet, and then go active for submarines below that layer where submarines like to hide. And that will snap them up. So she is a very good anti-submarine frigate that has a strong anti-ship punch, a good surface-to-air defense out to a very long range, and her shockingly good ESM suite that I can't wait to get to. So let's get through some of the details here. They are contracted actually to build five. These are already, being funded by the French government, being built by Naval Group in France, all at the same shipyard. They laid down one because this is the best way to build a ship. You want to build a whole fleet of these frigates, right? But you start with just one. You don't build two or three right away. And you learn how to build it efficiently. Like as they put this thing together, they're going to discover, if we had done step X before step Y, it would work much better. And then you kind of hash that out on hull one. Once you have hull one constructed and before it's even like tested and at sea and in service, you take that process that you learned and just start pumping out hull 2, 3, 4, like it's an assembly line. And that's what they're doing. So this first hull was laid down in 2021. It's already been launched. I got a good picture for you of that coming up. And it will be commissioned into the Navy in 2025. The long lead time, that 3 years from launch to commission, is because they're working out a lot of the systems bugs in sea trials, pier side testing, at sea testing, and things like that. The follow-on ships will be much faster. Okay, that's where she's being built. It's a French name, so I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but it's spelled Laurent. I hope that's how they say it. And this one shipyard, that one assembly building, is just going to pump them out right there. That's what it's scheduled for right now. If they change that, I wouldn't be surprised, because this appears to be a very strong design. Okay, the FDI frigate by the numbers. We have 4 16-valve 8,000 M91L diesels. It's a very specific model number of a diesel. Just know that this is a very good maritime diesel, and they're running in a CODAD configuration. So that's combined diesel and diesel. So the way this works, they have 4 diesel engines. They will always be running 2 diesel engines. Port side electrical bus, starboard side electrical bus, 1 diesel on each. That's turning on the lights, running all the equipment, and charging batteries, because I'm sure they have some kind of energy cell on board this thing, and also sending electricity to the electrical motors that then turn the shafts, okay? But whenever you have all that load on 2 diesel engines, you could probably only make maybe 13 knots. I'm guessing about 13 knots. If they want to go fast, they got to bring on the second set, the second pair of MTU maritime diesel engines, and they can run all 4 at the same time. That's what the CODAD means, diesel and diesel. So 2 diesels, want to go fast, 4 diesels running. But 2 diesels, when she's away from the pier and not getting electricity via shore connections, she'll be running 2 diesels to keep the lights on. All right, she's a 4,500 ton diesel, or ton ship rather, when she's fully loaded, and does 27 knots. Those are public numbers. I assume she goes faster than this. But if she wants to do her maximum endurance of 5,000 nautical miles between refuels, she'll have to make a speed of 13 knots. She shoots the Exocet Block 3 Charlie. That's the long-range anti-ship missile. And has 2x8 cell VLSs carrying the Aster 30 SAMs. And we'll get a little more into detail on that. Of course, she has the big 76mm gun on the bow. She shoots the MU-90 lightweight torpedo off the port and starboard sides, but the ASW helicopter drops the American Mark 46 or Mark 54 torpedo. I find that interesting because it would be more efficient to have one type of torpedo that you shoot from your torpedo tubes on board the ship and drop from your helicopter, because that's one supply chain, that's one maintenance kit. You know, you don't need 2 different ones. But publicly they're saying that they use 2 different torpedoes on this ship and helicopter. Okay, they also have a UAV, that's the Airbus VSR-700. Now, on the sensor side of things, this is really interesting. They do have the Thales Seafire 500 ASA radar, great radar, long range, very accurate, can track ballistic missiles and develop fire control solutions to intercept them. So they're not saying, and I'm not saying, that this frigate can intercept a ballistic missile, but with this radar, it can track it, and it can calculate an intercept point that someone else can shoot a missile and intercept it. So I haven't seen any literature yet stating that this ship can actually shoot it down, but with this radar, it certainly can provide the fire control information to do that. Now, they do have the Thales Steer 1.2 electrical optical Mark II fire control radar system. Because it's electrical optical, it also is visual as well as radar. They have the reconnaissance ESM Sentinel and the communication ESM ATSI. These are all, or ALTSI rather. These are all made by Thales, and we're going to break each one of these down. They have a Terma Skatner navigation radar that is possibly low probability of intercept. They have a Safran Peso XLR electro-optical system that they can use for directing the big gun on the bow. The King Clip Mark II hull-mounted sonar, like I said, and then the very capable CAPTAS 4 variable depth system that is so good that we've decided to put this it's European anyway, sonar system on our frigates. It's so good that we've ditched our own design here in the United States to go after CAPTAS 4. It's really good. They can track the new Yasin. They snapped up the Yasin with CAPTAS 4. The Royal Navy did, those Brits over there, clever little blokes. And once they did that, CAPTAS 4 was the one to beat. We're like, if that's the sonar system we need to track that new Russian submarine, put it on everything. So there you go. That's the story behind the sales of that. That salesman had a great day. He's like, guess what we just did? Anyway, MTU 16V8091L. This is that beautiful diesel engine. They got four of these things. Very big, very heavy. This thing is a monster, but it puts out a ton of power, 800 horsepower each. And then the only thing the Sonderman cares about is this number here, 1150 RPM. Because it's a maritime diesel, that's her most optimal fuel-efficient RPM. So she will stay at that range. She'll never move off that. They start her up, she goes to 1150. If they need more power, they'll just put more of a load on the generator without changing the speed of the diesel. Yeah, it's very clever how they do that. And that's how they get such great efficiency. And that's why running a maritime diesel is such a good idea. It's a little bit difficult to maintain. I'd say it's more difficult to maintain than the jet engine that they use on the Arleigh Burks, the converted LM2500 that we see so much. But this thing's reliable. It's hard to break. Yeah. All right, here we go. Let's talk about these radar systems. This is the Thales Seafire 500 ASA system. Think of this as the European Navy's version of Aegis. These ASA radars can all communicate with each other when they're in a fleet. And so they each have their own piece of the pie that they cover. And it can be 360, by the way, but they have, you know, designated areas of responsibility. And they all communicate with each other to make it like one huge integrated system. It's beautiful. It works in the 2 to 4 gigahertz range. Does both air and surface contacts, can track. Publicly, it says 800 contacts. It's probably twice that, guys. But just understand that they say that they can track up to 800 contacts all at once. Does support the Astra 15, the Astra 30, and the Astra 30B1NT, which is a very specific. I believe that's the anti-ballistic missile one, the B1NT. Radar. So you need this radar to track that ballistic missile, and then you need that specific Aster surface-to-air missile to go and get it. This frigate shoots Aster 30. So I'm not convinced that it can actually shoot down a ballistic missile, but we are certain it can track it. And the Aster 15, like we'll talk about here in a second, is just a shorter range version of the Aster 30. Basically the same missile. Okay, STEER 1.2 electrical optical fire control radar. So this is a radar with a camera on it. So you can use both or one or the other. You can see what you're shooting if you wanted to. It has both IR and color resolutions. Can do a complete 360, but they mount it on the bow. So if you turned it around, you'd just be looking at yourself. So, but just know that this thing can spin all the way around if it wants to. And it can look up at 120 degrees up and then 30 degrees down. Remember what I said about previous lectures? These unmanned surface vehicles are so fast and small. Looking down is becoming as important as looking up with these weapon systems. And if the radar system or the fire control system can't look down, it won't matter if the gun can. This thing has got to be able to see the target for the gun to hit it. Its range is, the X-band says it can go out 65 nautical miles. That's pushing a ton of power. If the X-band is going that far, that's pretty impressive, actually. I don't know if I believe that number, but hey, it's the 21st century. This they could have an X-band that goes 65 nautical miles. I would love to see how they do that, but I'm sure they don't make that public. Anyway, terminal scanter navigational radar frequency is 9,500 megahertz. Typical navigation. I want to call this a Furuno. This is what you're going to put on your little fishing boat if you're going to go out offshore fishing for a little bit. It's very accurate. It's X-band because of its frequency. The thing that makes this special is its pulse compression. This is a anti-detection or ECCM radar. So, but they don't claim that it's LPI, but all the descriptive terms that they have here leads me to believe this is low probability of intercept navigation radar, just like what Turkey has. But Turkey comes out and says, it says, hey, you're probably not going to see our radar. Don't be surprised if you see our ship, you don't see us on our radar. This one just says that, hey, it's a pulse compression radar that has ECM capability, ECCM. Okay, range 96 nautical miles. So, you know, can see the shoreline from a long ways away if it needs to. Here is that XLR Safran electrical optical system. This is what controls the gun on the bow. This has a third generation thermal CCD. The resolution is 1280 by 720. Or if you want to go full TV, it's just like watching your computer monitor at 1920 at 1080. So pretty good resolution, especially for that IR range. It's hard to get infrared in a high fidelity. And the fact that they get it to 1200 by 720 is pretty good. It does have panoramic view, TV and IR, integrated combat management system. Or you can make it standalone. In other words, the operator can just take it and, you know, look around without moving the gun all over the damn place. And that's probably what it's going to be used for a lot, because you don't always want the gun pointing at civilian ships. You know, if you want to take a look at a fishing boat off the coast of Yemen to make sure that they're not smuggling something, you would want to take a look at them with this so you get a nice clear picture, record them if you wanted to, and not have the gun pointed at them at the whole time, you know, freaking out the fishermen. So it's capable of independent operation, but it does work with the combat management system, which means you can put rounds downrange on this thing with this thing if you want to. All right, let's talk about communication ESM. This is not something we say often on this, in this series, but this ship has it. This is the Altezi H, communication supported counter measurement and communications intelligence, or COMINT system. So CESM or COMINT system. Operates in the 500 megahertz range. These numbers probably don't mean a lot to most people. Just understand that its direction finding accuracy is less than 2 degrees. And then you split the beam and it can be less than 1 degree. So basically, you could get a near single bearing resolution on a comm signal, which is really good passively. But here is the thing that I'm most excited about. This specific model, this Altezi H, has a brand new user interface, which doesn't sound like much, but because it's so simple to operate, they can take non-specialist sailors, literally the guy right out of boot camp, and give him an orientation course on how to punch the buttons, and he can collect intelligence. He becomes an instant intel specialist with this piece of equipment because they made intel collection so easy. Now, he's not going to be decrypting. He's not going to be reading, you know, any foreign languages because he doesn't have that training. But he will be able to collect the information. The computer, the AI, and the algorithm will do everything else. It will decrypt it as much as it can. It will translate it into whatever language you want and spit out the results. And this is done with someone with almost no training other than how to operate the console. Compare that to 35 years ago, when we were off the coast of Russia with specialists, a whole team of 8 to 16 people that had years and years of training in both language and encryption skills. You know, the math that goes on in these guys' brains was incredible, and they spoke multiple languages. All that is done in the box now. It's all in the computer. And so all you need is a warm body to turn it on and recognize that there is a signal, which it can do too, but the operator can do it. And then it begins decoding, decrypting messages. Communication. This is a specific communication electronic support cell, as well as an intelligence gathering, which just means that it records it. This is a huge step because you're eliminating years of training that used to be required. Let's move on to the VLS. This is very similar to the American VLS in that it is in groups of 8. So you can have 8, and then you have 2 of those, so you have 16, 2 of those, you have up to 32. The lengths are, you know, 4 meters to 5 meters, and then 7 meters long. So it's not, or 7 meters deep. That's how far it goes down into the ship. The thing that's the problem with this Silver A50, and I thought this was a typo, but apparently it's not, is that it can fire one missile every 15 seconds. And that's really slow. That's real slow. It should be 1.5 seconds. But apparently, for whatever reason, it might be some kind of treaty limitation that I'm not aware of, this thing will shoot one surface-to-air missile every 15 seconds. That's not enough. That's not enough to defend your ship against a cruise missile attack. You're going to need to get multiple weapons in the air to shoot down incoming weapons. So I'm a little concerned about the fire rate of the Silver A50 VLS being one missile launch every 15 seconds. And I don't understand why it's that slow. The rest of this ship is amazing. Next generation, plug and play decryption for intelligence gathering, which is unheard of, you know, but then it shoots one missile every 15 seconds. I'm pretty sure that's got to be some sort of legal agreement limiting that at this point. All right, let's talk about the gun, 76 millimeter rapid fire gun built by Leonardo. We've talked about this gun a lot. It's on a lot of these French and just European ships in general. Shoots 120 rounds per minute, so 2 rounds every second. Has 80 rounds in the mount and additional rounds below that. Has a range of 16 kilometers because that's about the ballistic missile range of shells being shot from a surface ship. We see 16 kilometers a lot on a lot of these guns. 8 kilometers for air targets. It does have an air burst shell. It weighs 7,900 kilograms and can go up to 85 degrees up and 15 degrees down. Because of its centerline placement, it's not going to be able to shoot very short range. But they do have the other 20 millimeter guns that can basically point straight down and shoot the unmanned surface vehicles. So you get too close to the ship, this gun won't be able to hit anything. But it's got a big punch. 76 millimeter round will put a nice hole in whatever it hits. And it shoots fast. All right, here's the Exocet MM40. This thing's been around for decades. They just keep upgrading it, keeping the same name. Essentially, it's a whole new missile. It's so different from the original version. This is the Block 3 Charlie with a range of over 200 kilometers. Yeah, it does INS, which is internal navigation. It also has GPS. Of course, in wartime, GPS would be scrambled, but our French allies would have the code, so they would still be able to use it. It has active radar guidance. It's still subsonic. You know, we're not reinventing the wheel here. It's got a solid propellant booster motor that then goes into a turbofan jet sustainer carrying 160 kilogram IM warhead that has both impact fused and proximity fused. So it doesn't even need to hit your ship. Let's say it's a very small ship or even maybe an unmanned surface vessel, very small. It senses when it's close enough to be effective and explodes. So that's kind of a nice thing that it doesn't need to physically hit anything for the fuse to detonate. Very good missile. They'll never get rid of the Exocet. That thing's going to be around forever. All right. So the Aster 1530, I've been sitting on this knowledge. So now I can finally let it go. So the Aster family consists of Aster 15 short to medium range missiles. And then the Aster 30, which is a short long range missile. And that sounds kind of confusing, so I'm going to break it down for you. So the Aster 15 missile is designed to meet saturation attacks. So think of you're going through the Strait of Hormuz, and you got the Iranian Canoe Club coming out to meet you, and they have all those small boats. Well, if they start throwing up missiles and stuff, you can use this Aster 15, which is just the front, the white part in this photo, the top half, gets launched. It's very short range because it doesn't have a big booster on the back, but it's extremely maneuverable. It can go out and intercept all those missiles that are coming at it from the small boats, right? This thing, I wouldn't be surprised if it could shoot down like an RPG, right? It's that accurate. It's extremely maneuverable. So what is the Aster 30, which is the rating of the VLS here? Well, the Aster 30 is the same missile with a high-performance booster motor on the back. And in this photo, if you're watching the video of this lecture, that's the bottom half that's in black. It is a huge solid rocket booster motor that pushes this thing into nearly space. It then detaches and becomes essentially an Aster 15 at that point. Very maneuverable, can turn up to 15 Gs, which would smush a pilot, right? But this thing is just a missile and can intercept anything after that. So short range swarm attacks, you want to be shooting Aster 15s. If you're trying to go long range and shoot down that, you know, incoming missile or bomber that's, you know, 120 kilometers away, you're going to use the Aster 30 for that. And they can shoot both. An Aster 30 is simply an Aster 15 with a booster motor. All right. The MU-90 lightweight torpedo. This is the European version of the Mark 46 American torpedo. Very similar characteristics. Max speed is measured in meters per second. I'm not sure why they do it that way. They love their metric system so much, they don't even want to use mile or knots anymore. So it's 26 meters per second. The range is 12 kilometers at max speed, but if they go into a lower, slower mode, they can get 25 kilometers out of it. You would want to do that if you were just denying an area. You know, if you're not actually trying to hit the submarine, you just want to keep the submarine from, I don't know, being right behind you. You could shoot this torpedo to kind of do a wake search or a snake search for 25 kilometers right behind the ship. The submarine would have to get out of the way of that thing, giving you time to escape the submarine. That's just one use that you could use this longer range, lower speed weapon for. All right, so the warhead is a 50 kilogram high explosive shaped charge. It does acoustic open and is electrically propelled, which means it gets up to speed quickly. So I'm going to point out something on this photo that I don't think I'm supposed to see because it's not pointed out anywhere, and it's certainly not in Jane's, but they messed up when they made this photo public and they did not censor it properly, in my opinion. It looks like it has a wire on the rear end of the torpedo. Now, that wire can do two things. It can enable the battery to begin creating electricity to turn the propeller and turn on the acoustics and all that. That's probably what it is for. Is the battery will not turn on essentially until this cable is pulled. And the cable's pulled when you eject it out the torpedo tube. But what if they developed a wire-guided lightweight torpedo and just didn't tell anybody, like it was still a secret, but they left it in this picture. So I'm going to say officially, I think this cable that's on the back of this weapon that's being ejected is to enable the battery to begin generating power. But it could be a wire-guided weapon. And if it is, that's why they're using the M90 and not the Mark 46. All right. Narwhal 20 millimeter gun. They got two of these things developed by Nexter. It shoots 20 millimeter, which is like 90 caliber, commonly referred to as 20 millimeter, even here in the States. Muzzle velocity is up to 1200 meters per second. That thing, it's a rocket, right? It shoots 740 rounds per minute. It only has a 200 round magazine rather, but you can reload that. The elevation goes down to negative 15 degrees. It has the clearance to go farther than that, but, you know, publicly it says 15 degrees. And it will IOC in 2024, which is basically when the first ship is made in this class. Remember, the commissioning is in 2025. And fully loaded, it weighs 270 kilograms, which, you know, that's pretty light for a gun this size. I'm shocked at how light it is. But this is what you're going to use for small surface targets. This, I'm sure, has the ability to shoot down air targets as well, but this, whenever I see this gun, I'm thinking small boats, unmanned surface vehicles. Yeah, this is going to be your defense against those things. All right. The aerial assets that this frigate carries is the NH-90 Cayman helicopter. This helicopter has a max speed of 300 kilometers per hour, a max service ceiling of just over 5,100 meters, and can go 432 nautical miles or fly for 5 hours. This is uses the Thales Ocean Master radar, that is a surface search radar, and the L3 Hellraz dipping sonar with the forward-looking infrared, and of course the ESM suite is on board. It can carry up to two Mark 46 or Mark 54 torpedoes. For those of you that are new and maybe wondering what is the difference between a Mark 46 and a Mark 54, a Mark 46 torpedo is a very reliable, low-cost, effective, American-built anti-submarine weapon. The Mark 54 is the same engine with a new logic and homing sensor on the nose that is very updated. It's very effective. It's very hard to get away from a Mark 54 once it finds you. Your best chance is to just run away and hope it runs out of gas, you know. All right. For the unmanned aerial vehicle, they're also launching with the helicopter the Airbus VSR 700 unmanned aerial system. Now, real quick about terminology here, the difference between an unmanned aerial system and an unmanned aerial vehicle is the vehicle is obviously the vehicle itself. The unmanned aerial system, which is being used more and more in the industry as a description, is all the equipment on board that controls it and the aerial vehicle itself. So you'll start seeing UAS be used more and more common in these lectures going forward. It's a more accurate term is what it is. All right, so this is still under development, just like the American was for years. Ours may still be under development as far as I know. It can do 120 knots operational speed, so pretty good, pretty fast helicopter. Looks like a helicopter without a pilot seat in it. The endurance is over 8 hours, though, so this thing can stay up for a long period of time. And it can carry a 100 kilogram payload. So that's probably not enough for a torpedo, but it could carry, you know, a radar system or some kind of communication suite. Maybe some sonar buoys. Yeah, you could probably put some sonar buoys on this thing and have it fly and deploy a whole field of sonar buoys. That's what I would use it for. But it does have some sensors, it looks like, on it. It looks like it has a surface search radar on this picture. None of that's confirmed because it's still under development. Who knows what they're going to end up with? All right, final thoughts on the FDI frigates. This is a new generation of cyber-resilient stealth frigates. So they're not just thinking about radar stealth anymore. We're a generation past that. We're thinking about network connectivity, you know, our ability to communicate with the fleet and command ashore and not be interrupted so that we can give fire control and targeting data for that ballistic missile that's coming to someone that can actually do something about it. They're currently building 8 frigates. 5 of these are for France, 3 are for Greece, assuming Greece will be able to afford them. But they did order them. They're under contract. Okay, all the ships are being built in France. They're all being built by Naval Group. And right now, they're all being built by that single shipyard that I only see one assembly building. And if that's the case, I can't believe they're going to build them one at a time. They usually build them side by side at the very least. But we'll see what they actually do. Maybe they have another assembly building that was outside that frame. I don't know. All right, these frigates will have anti-surface warfare capability with air defense capability and ASW capability. We used to call this a multi-role frigate, so I'm just going to call it that. This is a multi-role frigate. Main production is combined diesel and diesel, incorporating 2 diesel engines at a time, up to 4 total. And then the FDI frigates will have extensive sensor capabilities, which blew my mind that they were able to take a layman sailor with orientation training that maybe takes a week on how to operate a console, and he becomes an intelligence gathering person. I still don't want to call him a specialist because he doesn't have that training. But because the AIs and the algorithms have evolved to the point to where they can do all the specialist work, they just need a human to control the console and collect the data and tell the AI, hey, it's okay to start collecting intel because there's still a human in the loop. You'll hopefully never get rid of that. You don't want these machines making their own decisions, even though that appears to be the way that we're going. We now at least have someone there monitoring the AI, watching it do the real work. And that's incredible. That is so good that they've got that ability now. And this is one of the first military projects ships, if you will, that publicly have announced that. I'm sure there's other countries, including the United States, that probably have been doing that for a long time. But this one's now publicly saying, hey, we can take a sailor, give him a orientation course, and he is now an intel collection person. Great stuff coming out of France. I am super impressed with Naval Group right now, time of this recording. They are doing it right, and I love giving credit when people are performing well. Right now, Naval Group is showing up the Western world on how to build and maintain a fleet. Well done. All right. Thank you, Patreons and YouTube members. You guys keep this channel going. Couldn't do it without you. We're growing like you wouldn't believe. I promised you announcements. Just for the Patreons and the YouTube members, I will be in November in Washington, D.C. at the the Defense Connect Expo. It's like a convention. It's 4 days. I will be there gripping and grinning, having drinks, going to lectures. If you want to meet me in person, I will be at the convention center in Washington, D.C., November 27th to November 30th, those 4 days. Love to see you there. If you can make it, let me know. I will look for you. All right. See you guys later. Bye.